You know, we come together on Sundays every week to listen to God. We come for some fellowship because there's strength as God intended it to be in the body of Christ. So it's neat to see people. And if we look out there and don't see you, we miss you. And that's from young, they're up in the balcony, to old, they're closer to the front so they can hear. But it was just really a neat thing today to see a friend show up that I hadn't seen in a long time in the flesh. I've talked to him and exchange messages, but one of our retired missionaries, Leon Cooper, is here this morning. Leon, it is just a thrill to see you. Leon has a real, he's got a baby face, so, you know, it's just wonderful, wonderful. And then I see that Jess is here. With his family, his wife Naomi and daughter Karen, but this is just really great. And as a body, you know, we've been praying for you, and thanks for praying for us as well. You know, I want you to take your bulletins out, would you please? Or I don't know if you call this a bulletin, your notes. We'll call it that. And we're going to start on the back page. The reason why I'm starting on the back page is Chris was talking about God speaking to us. And he speaks to us, especially in our, one of the ways, he takes his word and in the fellowship with, like, iron sharpening iron. Our friends talk, as we have conversations, look at the top of the line, in the top line. Personal application, that means it should be personal, and conversations. So here's my suggestion. Today, over a meal, whoever you're with, whether it's right after church, going to a restaurant like I'm planning on going, and with some family members. It says, number one, recall a delightful gathering of friends or family that turned out to be everything that you hoped it would be. Now, this is all over the map, but guys, everybody here, if you start to talk about this, you're going to be eager to say your thing, aren't you? You've got all sorts of times probably when you had a really delightful gathering and man, it knocked it out of the park. Everybody got along. Nobody was fighting. You know, they were choosing sides. Great question. I'm looking forward to talking about that with my family, also with our growth group on Wednesday night. If you don't have a growth group, come join us. We'd be happy to have you. Wednesday night, 6:30 in the fireside room. Question number two. I guess I didn't plan on this, but I want to just go through all of these questions because they're for you and for me. You don't have to do all these questions at lunch. One would be good, a couple bonus after that. Now, talk about experiencing times when you and your church buddies were growing a lot and finding great joy in the Lord together. Key word. How did God seem to use the many different gifts in that group of buddies, church buddies, or other Christians? The many different gifts that everyone employed to show their love for the body. Number three, this one relates to today, to absolute this moment. How do you prepare yourself to come together with our church family on ordinary Sundays? And specifically on communion Sundays. If you say, well, I take a Saturday night bath. Well, we appreciate that. That's an answer to prayer. But how do you prepare for coming any Sunday, but especially on communion Sundays? And that's almost always the first Sunday of the month. Now, go to the inside cover, would you please? I'm just gonna read this first paragraph. As we've been taking a fresh look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, I personally am amazed at God's miraculous design for the body, not just this body, but the local church. We're specifically talking about the local church. His miraculous design for our church. Do I get an amen? His miraculous design. Really? For our church? Yep. The church has weathered countless storms. And in many cases, it's been scuttled many times and folded or been burned to the ground by the whims and demands of self. On this Communion Sunday, we are looking at what many believe to be the very first, I don't know if you realize this, this was probably the very first written record before the other Gospels, maybe around the exact time, about 53 AD, but but Paul may have been the first one to actually write these words in a letter that we have before us. First written record of what Jesus said to his disciples at the table that night that he was betrayed. It appears that Paul had already taught this young church at Corinth about the Lord's table, but they had been making a mockery of it when they came together. Let's ask God, I'm asking God, to open our hearts and minds today to show how he continues to refine our local chapter of his church. Consider these things so that we might always show respect for the body of Christ. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word, may your spirit quicken our hearts to listen. Speak to our souls. Speak from your word and by the Spirit who is here in us and among us. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You can scroll to it on your electronic devices. You can turn in the Bible you carried in here. 1 Corinthians 11, and I'm going to actually begin with chapter 10, verse 31, because this letter just unfolds. As guided by the Spirit, the Apostle Paul was writing this really important message to our church as well as the church at Corinth. Paul wrote this, "So, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God." Do not, really? Sound like a pretty broad and yet specific statement. Do it all to the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews or Greeks or the church of God. Even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many. Whether I'm eating or drinking, that some may be saved along the way. So follow my example as I follow Christ's. I praise God. I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the teachings, or some versions say to the traditions, just as I pass them on to you. Man, that's a big statement. I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the teachings when I was here with you four and a half years ago, or a little bit more. I praise you for remembering those teachings and those he calls them traditions, but the word really ultimately is referring to the things that I taught you, the things that God even spoke to me in my personal encounters as the last of, quote, the apostles. I praise you. I'm so thankful that you're continuing in those teachings. Then he goes on in verses 3 through 16. Verses 3 to 16, we're not going to talk much about that at all today. Hardly anything. Because that might take us into the deep weeds and guarantee that somebody's going to be on one side of an equation, and I don't want any division on this, okay? So we may come around to this issue. He's going to be talking about the role of men and women and the way people even look when they get together, when they come together. We'll talk about that down the road. We're going to go back to an earlier chapter after Easter. But Paul just, he's talking about this. He said there's, and people today get upset about this. A lot of people will say, I don't like Paul because he sounded like he was a misogynist. He didn't like women. He surely didn't like women in leadership. That's the way I read it, that he didn't. And he's going to talk about the roles of men and women in the home, in the church, and we'll save that for another time. So don't sit there and read it right now, okay? So he's praised them for the way they've held to his teachings. And then he says this, in the following directives, I have no praise for you. What I'm about to say, I have no praise for you, for your meetings, when you come together, do more harm than good. What's he talking about? The early church had they were gathered for the most part. They didn't have a building like this. When they got together, the church at Corinth didn't have a building like this. They didn't all sit nice and neatly, all looking at the Apostle Paul or whoever was talking that day. They didn't sit nice and neatly. They met in house churches. And if you're going to get together in a house church, who are you probably going to get together with? People that are like you, in your status of life. If you're poor, you get together with people who are of poorer means. If you're wealthy, you get together with your wealthy friends. You get to the people, get together with homogeneous groups that the people much like yourself, and you all feel really comfortable with this. But then they would come together as a group of believers occasionally, maybe regularly as well. They would come together from their house churches. They would come together, and when they did, they made a mess of things. Because what they were looking at was, oh, I don't want to sit next to those people. They don't look like me. They don't smell like me. They don't. And then, not only that, they had these love feasts. And a love feast was surrounding, well, we're going to get together. They sent out the bulletin. We're going to get together to celebrate the Lord's table. And so we do that with a love feast. It was like a potluck. And the people they're going to get together with, the people they're going to want to see when they all come together, are people much like themselves. And the rich, the more well-heeled, maybe the more well-educated, they could speak the same language, and they just they stuck to their own. And as they brought food together for the potluck, That's about what the love feast was, people bringing their food together. They'd just kind of say, let's just stick together and we'll handle our own food arrangements. And they'd look over at the people that had basically nothing. And they continue with their wonderful love feast. They're loving each other. They're loving how well healed they are. They're drinking. The drinking as well. You know, we're celebrating the Lord's table. So the Lord's table, Jesus took the bread. We've got lots of bread here. And Jesus took the cup, the wine. And we've got lots of wine here. And Paul makes it very clear. You're making a mess of this. Let me read. Verse 18. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. Yeah, no kidding. And to some extent, I absolutely believe it. No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. I thought we're not supposed to have divisions. And now he says, well, you have to have divisions to show which of you have God's approval. Here's the reality. Some of you are clearly coming together to celebrate the Lord's table, and some are not. When you come together, it's all about you. Do you ever come to church and say in your heart, in the quiet, you would never say this really out loud. Never. It's all about me, Lord. It's all about me. I'm coming close to the heart of worship, and it's all about me. It's all about me. Maybe we can get Dan to play that someday. That was a nice song. I need some accompaniment to sing that. Well, how would you really say that or think that? Oh, man. I didn't like those songs today. I didn't like, you know, whatever instrument it is you don't like, you know, let's just pick on the flute or something. That's too high. It's too whiny, an instrument. Or this instrument's too loud. Or I didn't like the music. It wasn't too hot on the person up front who was talking. He was either too slow or he was too fast or he wasn't funny. I needed somebody to lift up my spirits. I needed a little bit of positive energy that day. And I mean, that's why I come to church. I was let down because it's all about me. Well, why do you come together? No doubt there have to be, and then he came to the Lord's table. And this was not a good thing, the way it was handled. It was not. When you come together, it's not the Lord's supper that you eat in that love feast. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. He's not just talking about, oh, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what the protocol was in this church. And does the pastor take the cup or does he take the bread first? Or does he? No, seriously, folks, it wasn't that kind of minor deal. They rushed in and said, let's eat. I remember a potluck, by the way, years ago when we used to have potlucks. They were some really great potlucks. And the people that were making the casseroles, they were amazing casseroles. Those of you who've been around, this is about 33 years ago, a complaint started to arise. Let the older people go first. Because the kids come in and they take all the good stuff and we made the casseroles and it's all gone. Yeah, it happens. It happens. Why I'm always first in a potluck line. Get the good stuff while it's there. And I know which ones of you are trying to get there ahead of me. When you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you eat, for each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else in this love feast. And by the time you get to it, One remains hungry and another gets drunk. Drunk? Hey, it's in the book. That's what they were doing. Literally getting drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you, oh, this is bad. Do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? Listen, it was no mistake what they were trying to do. They wanted these losers from the other side of the track. They wanted them to feel like they didn't belong with people of their own status in life. Humiliate them. Ask questions in the back of this. Aren't we all supposed to contribute to each other's lives? Do you think that they had any idea that some of these poor people had spiritual gifts that God had given them? That God had given them. I want you to understand this. If you're a follower of Christ, you have spiritual gifts that God has given you, that he intends to be used in among God's people. Well, you mean some people that might be less intelligent as me, than me, or they might be better looking than me, or worse than me. They might be the gender that I'm not as fit in. I like them for some reasons, but not for others. Young or old, their spiritual gifts are for everyone. But you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. It really sounds like an ugly, crazy cartoon, doesn't it? But this wasn't a cartoon. Question, do you despise the church of God? How should you answer that? How should I answer that? Do I despise the church of God? Or do I look down at people that are part of this body, part of this church, come here pretty regularly? Do I look down on people here and say, you have nothing to offer me? I'm going to get to the table first and get that food for myself. Paul says in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." So one really simple statement, half a statement. I received this from the Lord. I wasn't present when Jesus did this in that upper room. I wasn't there. I received this, though, from the Lord. Well, that could mean a couple of different things. I've received it from directly from the Lord. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 4, if you're taking notes, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 4, I got this. The Lord taught me, and he delivered the goods to me on the road to Damascus, and along the way, I got this from him as a personal revelation. And I also, when I met with the disciples, this is what this, we could fill in these pieces, the gaps in here. When I met with Peter and the other apostles along the way, they talked about this. So I received from the Lord that which I also have passed on to you. I passed it on to you. And this is what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Is that why you came together? Is that why you came did you come together to together fix the gaze of your soul on him? Did you come together to fix the gaze of your soul on the one who prayed in the garden to the Father that he had designed all this to happen with? The Father in the Spirit. He said, "Father, if there's any other way, now here in this moment, if there's any other way, but not my will, but yours be done." Do you fix your gaze on him? The one who took the full brunt. While he was taking that full punch of the Roman Empire and the hatred of the scribes and the Pharisees and the mocking cries of the crowd, you fix your gaze on him. In the same way, after he had taken the bread, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new promise." In the Old Testament, there was a promise of when you when the lamb is slaughtered and you take that lamb's parts and you put blood on the doorpost and you bring and you prepare a meal with your family, the promise was that God will deliver you if you do this way. And the God's people for hundreds of years did that before Jesus spoke of this promise and made it very clear, this promise is a new covenant in my blood. The old covenant got you deliverance. Salvation was a big deal to God to bring his people out of bondage in Egypt. But this promise was a promise that God would bring everyone who believed in him out of bondage to their own selfishness, their own greed, their own arrogance, their own pride. And he would bring them out of bondage, the bondage of their sin and death. And he said, "Every time you do this, remembering me. For whenever you," speaking to the group and to individuals, "when you come together, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Are you even mindful of the importance of doing this together? Are you mindful of the fact that we together are proclaiming before God, proclaiming in praise to him, "We know what you did, Lord," and proclaiming to each other together his death until he comes? You know, sometimes various ministries, various denominations, various associations may treat communion as it's almost as if it were a lucky charm. If I take this, I'll be back on the right side of God. It's not a lucky charm. It's not something you do to kind of put yourself in a, just, this is just for me. It's all about me, Lord, and my own self-indulgence and getting my own way. No, it's not about that. It's all about Him. It's all about you, Lord. I asked the question, how do you prepare? And the third question in your notes, how do you prepare yourself for coming any day to be with God's people? This is not a throwaway experience. It's never, ever a throwaway experience. If it's just, well, I checked that one off for this week, started out the week right, I did church. And like a song that I don't like, I got my worship on. You know, no, it's not about getting your worship on. It's not about you. It's about doing this with a group of people who've been demonstrating before each other that we take our fellowship seriously. And rather than rush in and group up in our fellowship, whether it's out there on the patio or in the breezeway, or whether it's just us getting together with our group, we realize, Lord, do you prepare by saying, Lord, what do you have for me today? And what can I pick up from one of these dear people that you've called to yourself already? How do you prepare? Verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Treating this gathering, coming together, treating it as if it's not worth much. You realize you're sitting around a bunch of saints? Seriously. And not just because they're sweet people. They're saints. They've been set apart by God as a kingdom of priests, chosen for this. If you're a follower of Christ, you're a priest. And you're a gifted person, and I need to be around you. Coming to this point in an unworthy manner, I'll be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of Christ. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. Examine himself. How do you do that? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my every anxious thought. See if there's any, or whatever it is, hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way that is everlasting, your way. Search me, O God, and know my heart. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing, I was in desperate need, recognizing the body of the Lord, eats and drinks judgment to himself. God will judge. That's why many of you are weak and sick. Ooh, and a number of you have fallen asleep. Such a nice way of saying, you died, and you died early. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. Oh, it's your potlucks can continue, but you're not going to be hockey players, okay? Giving somebody an elbow on the way to the front of the line. So when you come together to eat, wait for each other. And mix it up a little bit in that line. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home. If really your purpose in coming together was just to eat, it wasn't for the fellowship, stay home and eat. Eat all you want there. That it may not result in judgment. And when I come later, I know some of you are doubting I'm going to come, I'll give you further directions. I'm going to take a moment and walk down to the table. It'll give you some time to take the cup. But it also, right now, before we do anything else, would you please pray that prayer at the end of Psalm 139? Make it personal. Really personal. And understand that you are, what you're doing is you are speaking to the Lord of glory, a holy God who knows us absolutely inside out. Let him search you and prepare for the table.